This is DW News live from Berlin. No diplomatic breakthrough and no let-up in the fighting on day six of Israeli-Palestinian violence. Israeli airstrikes destroy a building in Gaza City, housing major international media outlets. The military says the high-rise was linked to Hamas intelligence, but press freedom groups are outraged. And Israel's financial center comes under its heaviest bombardment so far. Hamas launches dozens of rockets from Gaza into Tel Aviv. Also coming up in sports news on the show, crunch time in Bundesliga football. Augsburg beat Bremen and book themselves another season in Germany's top flight. Hello, I'm Claire Richardson. A very warm welcome to the show. On the sixth day of conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, the White House has weighed in. U.S. President Joe Biden, who has, up until now, said very little about the flare-up, is again emphasizing Israel's right to defend itself. And he's told the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, that Hamas must end its rocket bombardment of Israel. And meanwhile, there's been more bloodshed in the Palestinian territories. Multiple members of an extended family in Gaza were killed as they slept by Israeli bombs. And Israeli airstrikes also destroyed a tower block, housing apartments, and offices of international media organizations.
Thirteen stories reduced to rubble in seconds. Israel not hesitating to strike back hard against Hamas. The building housed international news agencies. Israel's defense forces say Hamas intelligence was using the media as unwitting human shields. Warned about the attack, journalists pleaded with an Israeli intelligence officer for more time. We are from the AP news agency. All of our equipment is in there, including cameras and editing equipment. Give me 15 minutes to get it out. Request denied. The airstrike went ahead as planned. In another part of Gaza, a family of 10 had no warning before bombs flattened their home. They were killed in their sleep, all except for baby Omar. My cousin died with her children. Only Omar here survived. He hurt his leg and his eye, and he can't breastfeed because his throat is injured. In Israel, Hamas rocket attacks are also killing civilians. One man died when a rocket struck his building in a Tel Aviv suburb. Others narrowly escaped death. 2 more meters, and it would have been my house. I was in the shelter, and I said, "That's it. The building is gone." The United States has sent a mid-ranking diplomat, Hadi Amer, to negotiate a ceasefire, but there's no breakthrough so far.
Well, earlier I asked our Jerusalem correspondent, Tanya Kramer, how Israeli authorities have responded to international criticism over the bombing of the Gaza skyscraper.
Statements came out, first of all, by the Israeli military. There were actually 2 statements. So they were saying, and I will quote you a few lines from them. They said that the building contained military assets used belonging to the intelligence office of the Hamas terrorist organization. As it was in the statement, they later said it was an R&D office in the second statement, and that Hamas hides, according to the statement, behind civilian media offices and uses them as human shields, and that it's Hamas actually that places military targets deliberately at the heart of densely populated areas in the Gaza Strip. So they didn't give any more details or evidence of the offices that they're talking about. And this is a bit in line what we're hearing here officially and what we've seen also in the past days. happening in Gaza, high-rise buildings or larger buildings, also which also contain residential flats and people living there that became homeless now, that they were targeted because Israel says they are containing infrastructure or offices belonging to Hamas or other militant groups.
Now, we are nearly a week into this conflict. And Tanya, you've been reporting tirelessly for us throughout it. How are things where you are in Israel now?
Well, I think in Israel, you have so many different opinions about what's happening. And, you know, I talked to some people in Tel Aviv. They said, you know, we really want this to stop. It's also very intense. It's also more intense than usual when it comes to the rocket barrages. But there are also people who say this should continue. Israel should continue this campaign, that Hamas needs to be deterred. And in other places, of course, also in Jerusalem, there are different opinions also among Palestinians about that. What I can say, you know, there are a lot of tensions everywhere. You have tensions in Jerusalem. They were there already, you know, weeks leading up to these hostilities. You had today, again, demonstrations in the occupied West Bank by Palestinians there. Inside Israel, there are a lot of tensions. And also, we are seeing, of course, demonstrations in neighboring countries. So, of course, there, you know, there's also a sense that says waiting for more international engagement, for a push for a ceasefire, but also with the understanding that there needs to be a political solution so that it doesn't repeat itself on and on again.
DW's Tanya Kramer, thank you so much for that update. Well, most of the latest street violence has been in so-called mixed cities in Israel, where Jews and Arabs have been living together for many years. Cities like Accra and Lod were captured by Israeli forces in the 1948 war. Now, much of the Arab population was displaced as Jewish migration flowed in from overseas. But many Arab residents still live there, and many of them are Israeli citizens. These cities have, until recently, been mostly peaceful. But this new unrest is exposing underlying tensions.
In the central city of Lod, the running battles between police and Israeli Arabs erupted again. This man was one of 15 arrested here. Police say they also confiscated an improvised submachine gun and 9 Molotov cocktails. In Haifa in the north, there were more police searches and 9 more people arrested on suspicion of rioting and attacking police. Not far away in Jizr az-Zarqa, Arabs and police faced off across a burning barricade before clashes that led to 2 more arrests. In Jaffa, a mostly Arab district of Tel Aviv, the streets lay quiet after a night of violence that saw an Arab child seriously wounded when a firebomb was thrown into his home. Some were determined to go about their daily business regardless, but many prefer to stay inside, fearing the civil war of which Israel's prime minister has warned.
And the renewed conflict in the Middle East has brought people out onto the streets worldwide to protest against the violence. Here in Germany, thousands marched in support of the Palestinians.
Campaigners around the world organized rallies to condemn the violence in the Middle East and to commemorate Nakba, the displacement of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians when the State of Israel was created in 1948. Most of Saturday's events were peaceful, although in Berlin, police broke up at least one pro-Palestinian gathering and arrested several demonstrators. Still, the people made their voices heard. I just want there to be peace between Jews, Muslims and Christians. We're all human. My message is that the bombarding and the killing should stop. In a war, there are only losers. There is no winner. In this case, children are dying on both sides. And that's not nice. Elsewhere in the city, a smaller gathering backing the Israelis. But most of the rallies around the world have been in support of the Palestinians. In France, police fired tear gas in an attempt to break up a rally in the north of Paris. Crowds gathered, even though city authorities had banned the march, fearing an outbreak of anti-Semitic violence. There was also solidarity down under, with a pro-Palestinian gathering in Sydney. As the renewed violence deepens the rift in the Middle East, many around the world are uniting in protest.
Now for some other stories making headlines around the world. Thousands of people have rallied in Rome to support a law that would punish discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender, or disability. The so-called Zan law was approved by Italy's lower chamber last year, but right-wing groups in the Senate say existing legislation already protects against hate crimes. The operator of the largest U.S. gasoline pipeline says it has resumed normal operations after being hit by a ransomware attack. The disruption to Colonial Pipeline's network, stretching from Texas to the East Coast, triggered supply shortages and long lines at many gas stations. And Russia has deployed aircraft and firefighters to extinguish forest fires. A heat wave has pushed temperatures above 30 degrees Celsius in central Russia and Siberia. In the eastern region of Tyumen, flames have engulfed more than 60,000 hectares. Well, this weekend sees the second-to-last round of Bundesliga games, with a lot at stake for those battling to avoid relegation. Augsburg went up against Bremen, with both teams barely above the drop zone. Augsburg came away victorious, securing another season in the top flight and leaving Bremen in deep trouble.
The message was simple in Augsburg: the fans believe. Anything less than a win for their team could mean having to prepare for the second division, even with one more game to play. Their coach, Markus Weinzierl, knew it too. And so did Werder Bremen coach Florian Kohfeldt, whose team was in even worse shape, trailing 2 points behind Augsburg. But things swung in his team's favor in the 13th minute, when Augsburg midfielder Ruben Vargas was given his walking papers for attempting to kick an opponent, which took VAR to confirm it. Man advantage, Werder Bremen. Yet Augsburg compensated well, and then in the 57th minute scored when Rani Kadira took an opportune shot after a fortunate bounce went his way from a corner. 1-0 Augsburg. Bremen pushed forward, but it was not to be. And in the final minute of regulation time, this Augsburg breakaway. And penalty shot. Taking the honors was Daniel Caligiuri. 2-0, the final score. Augsburg's celebrations were understandable, as was Bremen's disappointment. Augsburg remain in the top flight next season. Oh, and its final league game coming up? It's against Bayern Munich and a very hungry Robert Lewandowski on the hunt for the all-time Bundesliga goal-scoring title. A matchup Augsburg will be glad not to have to win.
Now, as we've heard, Robert Lewandowski of Bayern Munich has tied the record for the most Bundesliga goals in a season. He notched up his 40th in Bayern's draw with Freiburg. Now, the Polish striker scored from the penalty spot in the first half, equaling the West German goal-scoring legend Gerd Müller. The record has stood for almost 50 years, but Lewandowski could even break it in Bayern's last game of the season. And it is, of course, the Bundesliga's second-to-last match day of the season. So let's take a look at where things stand. Augsburg avoided relegation by beating Bremen. Hertha Berlin beat the drop with a draw against Cologne. Bielefeld and Hoffenheim grabbed a point each. And Freiburg held champions Bayern Munich to a draw. Now, relegated Schalke stunned Champions League hopefuls Frankfurt. Leverkusen shared the spoils with Union Berlin. And Stuttgart downed Gladbach. There are two games on Sunday, Mainz Dortmund and Leipzig Wolfsburg. And now let's take a quick look at the Bundesliga standings with one round left to play. The battle for the Champions League remains intense, with Wolfsburg, Dortmund and Frankfurt jostling for the final two spots. Down at the bottom, things are incredibly tight, with Bielefeld, Bremen and Cologne still threatened with relegation. Now, coming up after the break, our high-tech magazine show Shift asks whether online hate speech should be censored. That is your news update at this hour. There is, of course, always more on our website, dw.com, or you can follow us on social media at DW News. I'm Claire Richardson in Berlin. That's all for me for now. Thanks so much for joining us.